Hello, I'm Luca De Giglio, and this is the Web3 in Travel podcast, where you can learn about crypto, blockchain, and how the new internet will change travel.
Today, I will talk about tokenomics, which basically means when a startup launches a token, how to distribute it. This is, you know, the basics of any Web3 startup with a token. You don't really have to have a token all the time, but most of them have. And it's an evolving area. It's an evolving science or art. And it's changed again. There's different trends which make, like, for instance, the allocation to the team more or less prominent according to the bull market or the bear market, for instance, etc. So if you are a Web3 in travel startup, and you're going to end up sitting down and having to decide very early on in your journey how many tokens to issue and how many to keep for yourself, for the community treasury, if you have one, for the investors, if you have, for maybe airdrops, etc., etc. So it's a conversation you can't really avoid. And even if you would like to have it a bit later down the road when things are clearer, it's a decision you have to take at the beginning. It is very similar in equity when, you know, raise money for your startup, which is just an idea and a couple of people. You have to decide, for instance, how much of the startup to sell for, you know, to give to the investor, your angel investor or incubator or VC. And the valuation, it's something very similar. It is different, but it's very similar. So that's the mindset. It's something you would like to decide later because you have no really data on which to base the decision, but you have to decide immediately. So, and the problem a bit with the token is that, as most of the times tokens are of a fixed supply, it's something you can't really change too much later. So anyway, it's a hard part of your Web3 in travel startup journey. Let's understand together at least the basics. Now, I'm doing this by reading a very well-written essay from Lauren Stefanian of Pantera Capital. Pantera Capital is a very old VC in crypto space, one of the first, so a very important voice in it. And Lauren, a couple of years ago, she wrote an optimizing your token distribution paper, and now she updated it just a few days ago, actually yesterday. So I'm going to go through this essay, this, whatever you want to call it, this article, and I'm going to comment kind of live. This time I've read it before. So I read the whole thing, and now I'm going to go back on the specifics, and I'm going to comment them according to what I think. And also I will try to see if there's anything I can add in terms of travel, because maybe the travel industry requires a little bit different kinds of distributions. It's a different industry than, I don't know, DeFi, for instance, but we'll see. So let's start. So the token distribution is usually broken down in 7 main segments. So some tokens go to the core team. Some tokens go to private investors, if you have them. Some will go, most of the times, but not always, to the community treasury, which is like the money the community can manage and which is dedicated to the community. We're going to go a bit deeper later into this. Then there's another segment, which is ecosystem incentives. What does it mean? It's like money you keep aside to incentivize the ecosystem to do things which are beneficial to the startup. I'm using the term money as tokens here. I know tokens and money are kind of different things, but it helps understand that you can spend these tokens for, you know, to acquire stuff. Then another segment is airdrops. See, airdrops are an integral part of the tokenomics of a startup. Remember, I did one or two episodes on airdrops. They are, for the moment, here to stay, actually growing. And it's this is really cutting edge in terms of, you know, how to launch a startup. And they are, at the moment, you could say, increasingly important, you like them or not. Public sale, this is the old ICO, basically dead because of, you know, legislation blocks, basically. And the last one is partnership and vendors. So Lauren has analyzed about 150 projects and protocols to kind of trying to find the trend. So what she wrote is mostly about trends. I'm not that interested in trends in the context of this episode. They are, of course, it's going to be nice to see how things are moving, but I'm more interested in telling you what segments they are and how you take a decision on how much to allocate to each of them. But trends are also interesting because according to when you launch your Web3 in travel startup, you are going to be in a different market cycle and also different era. And you have to understand, you know, how things change. Now, again, I don't think any of these are rules to follow. You will see that the median, I don't know, for instance, median allocation recently for teams is about 25%. That doesn't mean 25% is the right number. That's median. Okay. Maybe the successful ones are giving out 10% or 30. We don't know. Plus, we don't really know if today the 25% is the number everybody uses, if this is actually a good choice. It could be that, again, in 5 years' time, we look back and say 25 was too much or too little. I don't know. So don't take these numbers as a rule you have to follow. Use them as a starting point. One thing which could be said is that if everybody is getting 20% of the team, this is then acceptable. Like, nobody will be surprised. So if you decide to get 5% or 50%, then you're going to have to probably explain your decision. But again, in startup world, you kind of have to be a contrarian to be successful. Okay, not a forced contrarian, not contrarian for the sake of it. But if your approach to startups, and I would say life in general, is like, let's do what everybody else does, I'm not sure this is a good approach, basically. So again, let's start. Team. Teams are now getting about 25% of the allocation. It went from zero in 2016, which I suppose that zero means nothing was even done at the time, straight up to 25. It almost reached 30% in 2020, and then it dropped to 15% in 2022, when it was like a bear market. It basically tracks the market cycle. When there's a bull market, and you remember, we are geniuses, we can ask for more. When it's a bear market and we are idiots, we can ask only for less. That kind seems to be the trend here. I was going to say, if you want to have a lot of your own tokens, launch during a bull market. But do you want a lot of your tokens? I'm not sure that's even a good idea. It depends. Because then you have to sell them if you actually want to transform these tokens from numbers on the screen to something you can use to buy stuff. So I don't know. Anyway, that's kind of the trend. If it's a bull market, you can ask for more. 25% seems to be the number today. Private investors, the other segment, kind of follows the same line. I was expecting, and Lauren was expecting too, that this is inversely correlated with team allocation. So the more the team gets, the less the private investors get. Actually, no. So it's kind of, let me read through this. Now, first of all, let's see the numbers. Private investors are getting slightly less than the team. I suppose it depends a lot on how much they invested and what valuation, of course, but the trend is the same. What does it mean? Maybe it means that in a bull market, the people who start something, again, in this case, both the team and the investors are geniuses because they invest in crypto. They can ask for more, and the market is more exuberant, so they accept these terms and they will buy the tokens. Or I'm not going to even say use the protocol, because this is completely, in my opinion, uncorrelated to the protocol usage. So the market says, I don't care how much they got. I just know that the token is going up, which in a way, you know, it's true. Let's not consider the market as stupid. Like in a bull market, every single thing goes up, even if there's zero value, right? We've seen this with meme tokens, and we've seen this with everything. So it is not irrational for the market to say, you know what, get 90% of the tokens. I don't care. I'm going to buy them, and then I'm going to flip them as soon as I think is a good time. Nobody's talking about fundamentals in bull runs, so remember that. So we said about 25% for the team, a bit less for the investors, and now let's go to public investors. Who are the public investors? This is retail. By retail, we mean, you know, normal people, like everybody. That was very big in 2017-18, the ICO era. A project would write a white paper and say, I'm going to do the decentralized Uber, and we're going to sell a billion tokens for 10 cents each. And you would buy them and hope it goes up. This has been killed effectively by the SEC in the States, but in general, the regulation, they said, no, people can't do that. They're going to lose money. You know, let them buy lottery tickets instead. The trend is clear. It went from 50% in 2016 to 10% in 2018, so 20% in 17, 10 in 18, and then it just went to zero, basically. So this is not even part of the equation anymore. Will ICO come back? I don't know. Maybe. The reason was to protect investors, but as we will see going ahead in this episode, this is not possible. I mean, you're trying to protect investors from buying tokens in an ICO, and they're buying Joe Biden token, like meme coins connected to an election and stuff. People, especially in crypto, you can't stop people from throwing the money away. You can't. There's just no way to do that. So maybe they realize it's completely, you know, useless, and they're going to allow ICOs again. But they look too much like an IPO, so probably not. All right, so the next segment is airdrops, right? And airdrops answer the question, okay, how do I put my tokens in the hands of people if I can sell? I cannot sell them? Well, I'm going to give them for free. So we give airdrops. So in a way, and that's the first time I've encountered this reasoning, which makes sense, is that, okay, you block the ICOs, we're going to do airdrops. And airdrops, the airdrop success in terms of like usage is directly correlated to the ICO basically ban. That could be a good interpretation. And so they went from 0% in 2016 to 10% in 2018, back to zero in 19, less than 3% in 20, zero again 21, 4% in 22, 20% in 2022. So, and we don't have data for 23. One out of five projects in crypto allocate tokens for airdrops. And this is completely changing the industry. There's a lot of airdrop farming. Probably is a good time to do another episode on that. But anyway, airdrops are, in a way, institutionalized in crypto today. And if the startup has raised venture capital, or anyway, some kind of private investment, this money is coming directly from there. You know, I've talked about this, but it's worth repeating. You get some free tokens, like you get $1,000, $2,000, $5,000, $10,000 free tokens. And you wonder, where does the money come from? Well, this is investors. Investors putting tokens in your hand to try to, you know, start a positive virtual cycle, etc., etc. So the money comes from real money. It's not like tokens are worthless, they give me worthless token. No, you can exchange them most of the times for a good amount of real money. You can get out, you know. And of course, this is kind of changing with points. We're going to get to there. But these token airdrops are real money. You can buy a car, you know, with them, which is kind of crazy. But I would argue it is not Well, it's been going on for a while. It maybe won't last because, of course, after doing airdrops, projects are calculating if it's bringing any value, and you know, data takes time to be collected, and actually to things then take time to happen, and then you collect the data, then you analyze it. Maybe we're gonna go in a no airdrop season where nobody's gonna airdrop, etc., etc. And this is also. Airdrops are also an art in a way, or a science. You need to do the airdrops in the right way in order for them to have a positive effect on your startup. Anyway, airdrops, 20% now. Treasury allocation. Let's, a quick reminder of what a treasury is. You put some money, or how a treasury should actually be. You put some tokens in a pool, in a safe, which is managed by either the whole community or some delegates. So it is not something you keep in your under your control. And you say, okay, this belongs to the community manages it, and the community decides how to spend it. All right. And this has been going always between about 20 and 40%. We are now at about 28%. And it is strongly correlated to how DAOs are perceived. So first of all, if you want your project to be decentralized as possible, so you want to call it a DAO, you're probably going to put more into it. If not, probably less. But it also correlated to how DAOs are perceived. Right now, we are in a phase where DAOs are kind of perceived as not very efficient. Maybe a year ago or two, they were like the next big thing. Probably is going to fluctuate again back higher later, especially as DAOs improve and tooling improves, etc. But 20 to 40%, about 30% now. Ecosystem incentives is another thing. It's like tokens you keep around to pay for, I would say, let's simplify it. You pay for engagement. I give you tokens if you do this little gamified social media activities like retweet and share and create some memes, etc. That's a bit harder to measure because some of these could be allocated in the treasury, but anyway, what you need to know at this stage, which is really the basics of tokenomics, that you can keep some money around to pay the community to do good things for the project. The question is always, okay, if I pay you to do memes and share them, and then I stop paying you, are you going to go just to the next project? So are you going to be like a mercenary, or are you going to stay with the project? That's a big question. It's kind of easy to get engagement in this way. And startups are always very hungry for KPIs and to show, etc. So they are incentivized to do it even if it's short term, because they need to basically raise the next round or have their tokens have a good valuation, a good price, basically. So we are at about 8% now. It went up to 30% in 2019. I see a lot of new systems for this kind of engagement, so I wonder if this is going to grow, but we don't have data for 2023. I would say it's higher. Okay, the last segment is partnership and vendors, and this went from zero in 2016 to zero now, reaching up to 10% in 2022. Again, this could be because now these expenses are categorized under treasury. So let's not focus on the numbers here. Just know that it may make sense to have some tokens allocated for partnerships and vendors. Now, consider that when you create these tokenomics, of course, you create them so then you can have those tokens to do things. But you also create it because you are raising money or selling your token, or having your token on the market, and you want the tokenomics to look properly done. Now, that's a bit of a problem in the sense that what looks nice on paper, it doesn't mean which is good then, in the real world. And the incentive is to make it good look on paper, say you raise more, or so people buy your token. But I can easily imagine situations in which you think you're, you know, one of these segments should get much less or much more, because, you know, you have a certain thesis and you have a hard time convincing the others, because that's something you have to explain. Again, as I was saying in the beginning, if you do things like everybody does, you don't have to explain and everything is kind of smoother, but maybe it's wrong. So these are the tensions, I suppose, when you decide about tokenomics, right? Now, I've given you the what everybody does average, which again, it's a very dangerous anchor in your mind. You know, now you're going to remember teams get 25%, and maybe you're going to say, okay, let's do the same. Let's not waste too much time in this and let's go ahead. This is again, a very dangerous thing, in my opinion. So let's put a bit of creativity into this process and see what has happened, which is different from this. For instance, Optimism, the layer 2 on Ethereum, launched a pretty large fund called RPGF, which means Retroactive Public Goods Funding. And it's an experiment on giving money to people who have already done good things for your network. Rather than saying, okay, come up with an idea, let's say, all right, you are, you know, maybe Camino Network, which is a layer one, they will say, okay, if you create a dApp which brings a lot of traffic, we're going to give you tokens. And then people try maybe to game this by actually, you know, creating traffic, which is not going to stay for a long time, etc. What they do is like they look back and they say, they look at all the dApps and you know, projects which did something which brought value to the Optimism layer two, and they give them tokens. So they have more time to judge, and they are going to give money only to people who actually brought real value. So the next time people know, okay, if I build on Optimism rather than on Arbitrium, there's this fund, and maybe if we are good and things work well, they're going to give us money. So that attracts developers and users. Now, this is just an example of a creative way to think about your tokenomics. And not only it's an ever-evolving environment, but it shows you that you can be creative. It is really easy. I remember this, you know, back in 2017-18, you had this bias in which everybody in crypto was a genius. I wasn't too much into this. I got into Bitcoin much earlier, but like this ICO boom, etc. I got late into that. And I was looking at these tokenomics and thinking, okay, if these are the numbers, it means these are right. And it turns out I was being wrong, I was wrong, and they were wrong too. I mean, everybody was wrong. Like, it's very hard in these quickly evolving ecosystems to be right. People are trying things, everybody's trying things. So it is easy for a startup founder in Web3 and travel to come and say, okay, well, that's what these OGs have done for the last 10 years. Who am I to break this the mold? No, that's actually your job as a startup founder. You are here to break molds. You are here to change things. So if in your specific vertical or even project, you think that you should do things differently, well, it doesn't mean you're right, but it doesn't mean you're wrong just because nobody has done it before. Nobody had the idea before. So I would say be creative. Let's not fall in such a young industry into, you know, tradition and just do what everybody else is doing. I would also say if you come up with a new kind of tokenomics, it could be actually something people appreciate, investors appreciate, and market appreciates, because it shows you put some thought into this. While if you do the, you know, average distribution, you know, tokenomics, you know, this pie chart with, you know, 25 here, 18 there, exactly as I told you now, you may come out as either lazy because you're just, you know, copying what everybody else is doing, or too conformist. And who wants to invest into conformists, right, in this space especially? Now, then this paper goes into analyzing different projects and their tokenomics, and they are widely different. So I started this episode by telling you averages, or you know, median averages. And then you look at these specific successful projects, I should add, there's an analysis of successful ones, and they haven't followed the rule. They adapted the tokenomics to their specific situation, which goes back to confirm that you shouldn't just, you know, make an average and do that. You should do your own thing, in my opinion. One thing I failed to mention is that the segment for the team and investors is usually vested. Vested means you can't spend it immediately. You have to wait 1, 2, 3, 4 years. 4 years seems to be the norm, and this is also the norm in startup capital. So, yeah, it's very important to remember that even if you get 25% as a team, doesn't mean you can spend it immediately, and that will look very bad if you spend all your tokens immediately, of course. And okay, let's go ahead. We still have time. I want to analyze the Kamino Network and the Travel tokenomics and compare them to what we've seen so far. So we will see them in parallel. We will look at, you know, the average for team allocation, which we said is, I think, 25%. And we're going to look what Kamino did and what the Travel did and see if we find any things to comment on. Okay, so Kamino, and I'm referring to their white paper. Let's see the team. They have a 7% for founders and 7.5% to the team. Founders and team are the same segment, so 14.5%. And 2.5% for advisors, which is still kind of team. It's part of the segment of the team, 17%. So a bit lower than what we heard before. Let's see the travel. The travel has a very nice dashboard at thetravel.com/token, which is dynamic. Things are changing. And let's see what it says. So team, all right. Contributors and advisors, 105 million. Unfortunately, they don't show percentages, but they have a 1 billion total supply and 100 million is for contributors and advisors. This is 10%. I don't see a team, and I think they don't have team allocation. Cynthia was telling me, actually, and I was surprised back in Berlin, that she doesn't have tokens. And I was surprised at the time. Unfortunately, I didn't have time to discuss the reasons, etc. But again, you know, this shows independent thinking. I haven't seen many projects where the team has no tokens. Of course, the discussion would be, how is it working for alignment? I suppose she has not tokens, but she has equity. So, I mean, the alignment is probably still there. Anyway, 10% for team, which is contributors and advisors. So we've seen 17 for Kamino, 10% for the travel out of these 25% averages, which we've seen in general. Let's see investors. The averages are 20%, going from a minimum of 10% in 2022 to 25% in 2018, which is kind of surprising. No, it's not surprising. 2018 was a bear market, and private investors got more. No, that goes completely against what we've just been saying before. I don't know, maybe 2019 was a time in which investors got positive and bullish. Let's see Kamino. They had several, you know, the investors got tokens in different ways, in different times. There's been a seed investment of 4.3%, pre-sale of 5%, a sale on an exchange, initial exchange offering, IEO, of 7.5%, and a second sale of 7.5%, which is like 24.3%. So this is a bit high. We are looking at 20% recently. I mean, 2023, I suppose. But yeah, it's very close to the average. Dtravel had the first sale, the seed sale, of 10%, a second for 7%, and the third one, 2.5%. None of them is locked, so we are at 19.5%. They recently raised, and I'm not sure where this money came from, maybe from the sale, maybe the last sale, 25, the 2.5%, I don't know. But none of this is locked, which kind of that's also not so common. Normally they are vested. They also have some vested tokens, but not for the investor. So it seems to me from what I read here that investors got unlocked tokens and everybody else got locked tokens, vested tokens. This could mean that, well, that again, this is pretty original. Normally the team, which doesn't have anything here, and investors, they can't sell the tokens immediately. Why in this case it seems like they can? I may be wrong. I mean, it could be slightly different, but that's what I read on this page. Then we have the public sale, which you may remember I said is kind of dead. Nobody does this anymore. Camino did, because the IEO is a public sale. And the second sale, so 7.5% for the IEO and the 7.5% for the second sale, they may both be for the public. I think I can say they do this because they are in a good place to do this in terms of regulation, Switzerland. Why anybody else who's in the States or anywhere else wouldn't touch this. So they kind of, you know, making the most of their advantage here. And the travel, as far as I see, they haven't done is any public sale in line with what everybody else is doing. Airdrops. Do we have airdrops here? We get free money from Camino or the travel? Let's see. Camino has no explicit airdrops in their pie chart. They have a 20% DAP incentive pool. Remember, we have this segment like incentivizing the market, which nobody says it couldn't be partially, you know, airdropped. So we don't really know if it's going to be an airdrop for Camino, and they may not even know it themselves. They may decide later. While DTravel has a 25% community growth fund, which again is this segment, and no explicit airdrop. So again, this could be another case in which the airdrop budget comes out of the community growth fund. So while we have a 20% allocation in average, we don't have any explicit allocation in these two projects. Okay, treasury. The average for treasury is about almost 30%. Camino doesn't show any treasury allocation, and DTravel instead shows a 25% community treasury allocation with a bit more than half which are vested, a bit less than half which are locked, and a circulating supply of about 18%, meaning that the treasury has kind of spent 18% of their 25%. So, and it's on the market, while the rest is either locked or vested. I don't know exactly the difference between locked and vested here. I should investigate, but it's out of scope for this episode. As you see, there's a big difference between how these two projects have decided to involve the community. But they are different projects. One is a layer one, is a blockchain, and one is a DApp or a protocol. And that's to be expected. Now, does it mean that Camino is not incentivizing the community because they don't have a treasury? No, of course, they have other, you know, they have their rewards. They have the DApp incentive pool because their customers are mostly the DApps, not the end users, right? So completely different projects, both in the travel industry, with completely different treasury strategy. It does make sense. Next segment is ecosystem incentives. It went from zero in 2016 to 30% in 19 to about less than 10% in 2023. I don't know now, but let's say less than 10%. And this one in Camino is pretty big, 20% DApp incentive pool. That could be tokens given to DApps if they build on Camino and other things. There's also a reward pool of 10%, but this is more about kind of probably validators or people who deposit, lock and bond the tokens, the CAM token, but 20%, while Dtravel has a 25% in community growth fund. So the segment, it's been called ecosystem incentives, but of course the community growth fund is the same thing probably. And similarly to the community treasury, kind of half and half is locked and vested, and 24% is circulating. I may have made a mistake in reading here. Let's see. Yes, I did. I did a mistake. Let's go quickly back to when I told you about Dtravel community treasury, which is 250 million. And there's 119 locked, 130 vested, and 17 circulating. If you sum the three, you get more than 250. Basically, you have to sum the locked and the vested, and you get exactly 250, and 17 are circulating. Probably meaning that out of the vested and out of the locked, maybe it's like this. Locked is locked. I mean, if something is locked, it cannot be on the market. Vested could mean that they were vested, 130 were vested at the beginning, but then, you know, they are slowly released. So out of the 130, 17.88 are already circulating. That's how I read it. It's not explained in the page here, but that's, I suppose, how it's meant. The community growth fund has 250 million, so 25%. And similarly, they have 112 locked, 137 vested, and I suppose, again, out of the 137 vested, 24.6 are already on the market. Okay, so let's go to the next segment, partnership and vendors. Do we have any partnership and vendors in Camino? Advisors? Okay, marketing, second sale, nothing explicitly for them. And Dtravel, I think, is the same. Nothing explicit. Again, it doesn't mean they don't have any tokens for partnership and vendors. They probably just put them under one of the other categories, like maybe community growth or foundation reserve or whatever, contributors and advisors. There's no standard way to name and separate these assets, so it's really difficult to say more about that and to have a clear idea of what are the exact allocations they plan to have, if they plan to have them, because they want to probably keep some flexibility in the future. Okay, that's kind of it. Let's now go back quickly and see, you know, first the Camino and then Dtravel, exactly the reserve. Camino orders them by importance. So the biggest, 23.7%, is the reserve. I suppose reserve is like your own treasury, the company treasury, right? And we keep the money there. Whatever we need it for in the future, we can use it. 20% is to attract dApps, the dApp incentive pool. 10% reward pool, so kind of for the validators. Then you have 7.5% and 7.5% the other sales, team 7.5, founders 7%, marketing, that's explicitly, there's an explicit 5% for marketing, which may mean, as we were saying, incentivizing users, the wider users, to do, you know, kind of noise on social media, basically. 5% pre-sale, 4.3% seed investment, and 2.5% advisors. And Dtravel, a bit simpler this one, 250, let me give you percentages, 25% community growth, 25% community treasure, and we see that 50% of the money here is for community, which kind of shows the intention of Dtravel to bet heavily on the community. 200% foundation reserve. This is what in Camino they called reserve. Here it's called foundation reserve. If I'm not wrong, I'm sure Camino has also a foundation. I'm not sure if it's only a foundation. There's a company behind it, so not so clear. But like both of them, 20% stays basically in the availability of the company or the foundation. Then the travel, right? We were doing that one. 105%, sorry, that's not 105%, 10.5% contributors and advisors, 10% and 7 and 2.5, so 17.5% sale. That's kind of it. Let's also see the travel is making clear how much is locked, how much is vested. About 343, so again, percentages, 34.3% locked and 46.1% vested, of which we kind of know that some are already being unlocked, so unvested, and people can actually sell them and put it on the market. They also tell us that they have 17.7 million Isopos tokens in the Ethereum vault and 6.2 million in the BNB smart chain vault. All right, that's kind of it. Now, am I going to give you my, you know, my comments on how they decided to split their tokens? No, I don't know. Is it good? Is it bad? Who knows, right? This is, you know, there's nothing out of the, completely out of the average, apart from the fact that the travel doesn't have team tokens assigned. Maybe the team is part, I mean, probably the team is part of the community, so they're going to get something. I don't know. That's the one, the outlier I've seen. Camino Network is a chain, so they have a different structure. Not much to comment on here. It's, I mean, not much to comment more than I've already done. Again, if you are a startup launching in Web3 and travel, you know, think about every single aspect. But as you can see, now you don't have to follow to exactly what everybody else is doing. And at the same time, there's a lot of flexibility in the interpretation of what happens with this money, right? So, yeah, I don't know. I think flexibility is important because who knows how the market is going to be in the future? Who knows your future? I would kind of try to keep it as vague as possible. And again, depending on what you're doing, allocate some to the community. But, you know, again, that's another thing. If you give money to the community, you have to be sure that these guys are able to manage it properly and not, you know, dump it on the market or lose it because the safe doesn't have enough signers or still active, etc. What I can say is that tokenomics is very complicated. It's more an art than a science at this moment. Maybe in 10 years or 20 years, we're going to have more data to make it a science. And I just hope that this introduction gave you a first idea of how these things are done, how they are decided, and how there's no really a rule you have to follow. And this is my interpretation. Be creative, be thoughtful, and adapt the tokenomics to your own project. And we're done. Thank you for listening to this episode. For more insights, follow me on Twitter at Tripluca, TRIPLUCA. If you enjoy my podcast and want to support it, head on to podcast.webtreeintravel.com, tree is a digit, and mint an NFT. If you want to sponsor it, you can do it at the same page. I will mention you in the podcast, and your name will appear on all donation NFTs for a while. Thank you, and ciao.